Welcome to Sozo's Podcast, a student ministry of Victory Family Church located in Cranberry Township, PA. We're glad you're here. We meet every Wednesday night from 6:30 to 8:30. Check us out on Instagram at SozoYTH.
I didn't come just to have church. I came to have my life forever changed. See, I believe that Jesus in his time, if he was a part of this century church, he would look at half the things we're doing and be like, what the heck are they doing? But I believe what he saw just right now, he would be so proud of you guys. And I love what this verse says. David said he inhabits the praises of his people. And you better believe tonight that the Holy Spirit is here and he's doing a work in your heart. But if this is your first time here, man, we want to welcome you. Our motto is here, if we can have fun at a football game on a Friday night, we can have fun in church. I went to a football game this past Friday. They were having some buck wild fun. Like the student section was on fleek. Like they were going for it for a football team that wasn't even that good. Brandon Knox, I'm not talking about New Brighton. I'm talking about Knock and Beaver. I stopped over there halftime. I'm like, these dudes are weak, y'all. I was like, man, I wish I could play against these guys when I was in high school. We would have took them to town. But tonight, I want to continue this series, Finish Your Race. Finish your race. Some of you guys didn't finish your donut before service. You need to finish your donut, dang it. I paid a lot of money for those things. But we do. We have a donut bar up here in the cafe. Brandon Landry, thank you so much, man, for putting that together. You did an incredible job. I don't know where he's at. He's awesome. I don't know where he's at. But, man, you have such a gift with your hands, and, man, God's using you in incredible ways. But tonight, I want to talk to you guys from this thought, the purpose in your pain. And what I need you to do is I need you to turn to your neighbor and say, there's purpose in your pain. Now I need you to turn to the other neighbor and say, you're the pain in my purpose. You're the pain in my purpose. Do you know that your purpose is not a place, but it's a race? Your purpose is not a place, but it's a race. See, the Bible talks about our purpose like a race. Every single one of us are on this race called life. And every single one of us has been given this God-given purpose in this journey or race towards that purpose. See, a lot of people have this idea, if I can just get here, then I'll be fulfilled. If I can just get to here, then I'll be in my purpose. But the reality is, you'll never get to where God's calling you to go in your purpose. It's going to be a continual journey. There's going to be pain involved. You're going to continue to take one step after another after another. Our purpose is not a place, but it's a race. And I don't know if any of you guys ever been on a race before or competed in a race. Here's what I know about the people in a race. Y'all ready? They look good in the beginning. They smell good in the beginning. If it's a long race, they might put some band-aids on their nipples so it doesn't, like, you know, rug burn thingy majiggy. You all didn't know that. I'm getting you guys prepared for the marathon here. Sometimes you need to wear some protection to endure the race. But when I see people in a marathon on TV, man, they're looking good. They got their Nike outfit on. They're ready to go. Their spirits are high. See, it's easy to start something, but it's not easy to finish something. See, the hardest part of a race is not the beginning and the end. The hardest part is in the middle, when nobody's cheering you on, where there's no water to quench your thirst, when you're going up that mile-long hill and you don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. See, a race is not won in the beginning or end. The race is won in the middle. And tonight I came to ask you, what are you going to do when things get tough? What are you going to do when the pain gets so real that you want to give up? Here's what I know that we need to decide tonight. We need to predetermine before the race even begins that no matter what the cost, we are not giving up. I predetermine in my heart that God has placed something in me. I'm going to continue to see him. I'm going to continue to pursue him. I'm going to continue to keep him at the center of my life. And no matter the cost, I continue to run this race. But here's what happens. In the middle of the race, you're in pain. In the middle of the race, you're running up this hill. And they strategically put these hills right where people want to give up. So right around the 16-mile mark, right around the 20-mile mark, they put these hills in Boston. And they call this the mile-long hill. And literally, these guys, they're feeling good. They got their adrenaline going. But right around that 16 to 20 mile, they put this strategic hill in place. And this is where a majority of the racers who are not trained give up. See, Paul said something about every single one of us running a race. And I want to read what he says here. This is what he says about running a race. He says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Are they servants of Christ? I am out of my mind to talk like this. Paul is admitting that he's kind of crazy, y'all. Like, some of y'all need to admit that you're just kind of crazy because people think you're crazy anyway. I admit that I'm crazy. I got some issues. But guess what? That's the start of having some healing in my life. And Paul's saying, I got some issues, y'all. I'm running this race right now, and I have some issues. I'm kind of crazy. I'm going to speak my mind right about now. See, Paul has that kind of swag, that Christian swag, where he has years underneath his belt. And he says, you know what? I don't care what people think. You ever talk to your grandma or grandpa or somebody who's old? Like, they lost their filter. Like, my grandma, she has lost her filter about 4 years ago. She tells me her mind all the time. I'm like, Grandma, I'm your grandson. Be nice to me. Grandma, do you know that I don't have to come over here? I was over Monday, and my grandma has the nerve to say, what are you doing here? I said, Grandma, I'm coming to visit you. I'm coming to bring some of your bulls from my dad's house, and my mom's house. Those aren't mine. I said, Grandma, you bought them at Boskoff's. Don't you remember? I don't want them. Grandmas, man, they'll tell you their mind. And that's what Paul's saying right now. He's like, I'm about to speak some truth. Because some of y'all need the truth, and the truth will set you free. And he says this. Are they servants of Christ? I must be out of my mind for about to say this. He says, I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with a rod. I want to stop there. I want to ask you this question. Write this down. Oh, I like this row. Y'all are taking notes. I want you guys to get this question. I want you to ask this on your way home tonight. Will you allow pain to paralyze you from fulfilling your purpose? Or will you allow pain to propel you to your purpose? I see in the middle of this text that Paul answered that question for himself. He's listing all the pains that he endured in his life for following Jesus Christ. He says, 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 time I was stoned, and he wasn't talking about recreational stoned. He did not smoke the legal marijuana out in California. He said, 3 times I was, y'all can laugh. Like, we're in church. Like, that was a joke. That was a joke. 3 times I was beaten with a rod. 1 time I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea. Come on, Paul. Why you keep on telling us all this? In danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I would not want to be around some of y'all if you go without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Man, that must really suck. Besides everything else, I've faced daily the pressure of my concerns from all the churches. Who is weak? I do not feel weak. Who is led into sin? I do not inwardly burn. Paul is talking to the Corinthian church right now, and he's saying, why are you guys complaining? Are you really complaining because people are making fun of you because what you believe? Or are you guys really complaining because things are starting to get tough? Like that spiritual feeling is no longer a feeling, but it's faith. Like you no longer has those goosebumps during worship. He says, welcome to walking with God. He's saying it's no longer about this feeling, but it's about faith. And they're complaining and they're saying, Paul, what is going on? We believe this cheap gospel that when we gave our hearts to the Lord, all our problems would go away. And Paul's saying, yo, listen, you bought into that cheap gospel, but I'm telling you, if you want to walk with Jesus, there's going to be pain in your life. If you want to walk with Jesus, you're going to have to go through some things. If you're going to walk with Jesus, sometimes you're not going to understand why, but you still got to believe. That little girl who was in pain when I went and visited her on Monday, I did not understand why something like that would happen to good people. But all I knew is what the Bible tells me, that's to pray and believe and confess the truth that she has been healed. Sometimes y'all are so driven by your senses that when things get tough, you check out. I love with one of my mentors, he says this all the time. Some of y'all need to give church and Jesus as much time as you gave the world. Like you've been living in the world for 10 years and you gave your heart to the Lord for about 3 months and you're wondering why you still have all those issues. The reason why you have all those issues is because you live worldly for 10 years. And God has to undo some of those things. See, there's a reason in your pain, and there's a purpose for your pain. And Paul says this, I want to read you guys the things that Paul went through. I have a list of the pains that he endured. He says, I was put in prison. I was whipped without number, faced death again and again. 5 different times I received 39 lashes, 3 times beaten with rods, 1 time stoned. I just want to make sure you guys know he's not talking about that Mary J. That Graham 2 Wood. He's not talking about that. 3 times shipwrecked. 1 time spent a whole night and day at sea. I was homeless. He says I was without food and water. Almost from death. And he's like, I had to take care of you guys as well. Those are the pains that I had in my life. And as I was reading that list of the things that he endured, I had a real vulnerable moment with myself. And I kind of evaluated my life, and I'm like, man, I do have pain in my life right now. And there's moments where I just want to give up. Because I think it'd be so much easier just to give up. And some of you guys are in that boat tonight where you just want to give up. There's so much pain in your life. You don't understand why things are happening to you. And when I read this, I'm like, man, would I have given up if I was Paul? And you want to know the honest truth? I probably would have given up after going out without food or water. I love my Chick-fil-A, y'all. I love my Chick-fil-A. Number 6, 8-count grilled nuggets. Large fry. The other day, I got another large fry, 8 packets of mayonnaise, 2 packets of ketchup. I got myself a handful of mints. Oh, I was in the zone. But I looked at this list and I said, there's no way that I could have endured so much pain in my life. But there was something that got a hold of Paul to say, you know what? I'm not giving up. And here's what I came to the conclusion. Paul, the greatest sinner of them all, Paul, the man who was persecuting the first century church, Paul was involved in killing Christians. He was going from town to town to town, killing Christians, trying to stop the gospel because he was more into religion than he was relationship. And he's saying, I care more about religion than I do about having a relation. He was trying to kill all the Christians to stop the spreading of the gospel. And he was on his way to Damascus when he got knocked off the donkey onto his donkey. And he had this. Oh my gosh. Y'all get it when you go home, all right? He goes blind for 3 days, couldn't eat, didn't want drink. And he woke up and he had a revelation from God. God spoke to him directly. He says, no longer will you persecute the church, but people will start persecuting you because of my faith in you and your faith in me. See, Paul, through all the pain, did not give up on God because God never gave up on him. Some of y'all need to hear that tonight. You cannot give up on God because God has not given up on you. He is not finished with you yet. He's just beginning a great work in you. I need you guys to clap your hands in this section. I know it might be weird. I know you might not come from this type of church, but we get rowdy. See, Paul did not give up on God because God never gave up on him. Paul deserved death. Paul deserved to be in hell. Paul deserved to be without life. But God says, I see something in you. You're persecuting the church right now. Guess what? I'm about to do something new in you. I'm about to give you revelation. I'm about to give you a word. Some of you guys need a word tonight from God. Some of y'all just going through the motions. And God's going to knock you on your donkey and he's going to say, wake up. Wake up. It's time to not go through the motions anymore. It's time to have purpose in your life. Do you know that God has purpose for your life? God has a calling for your life. This is what I love about Philippians. Paul says this in Philippians. He says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Finish your race. God only writes checks that he can cash. If God called you to it, he will see you through it. If God has called you to it, he will see you through it. If we do our part, you better believe that God is going to follow through and do his part. And I want to read something that Paul was struggling with. It's in Acts chapter 27. Paul was talking about his journey to Rome. See, Paul always wanted to go to Rome. He always wanted to preach at the Colosseum. He always wanted to tell people about the love of God. But the thing was, Paul wasn't going on Royal Caribbean. He wasn't going on a cruise ship. He wasn't going as a free man as he thought he would one day. But Paul was put into shackles, and he was put on this boat to go over to Rome to be trialed. And Paul begins to say this. He's like, man, I'm on a boat right now. And God's about to do something that I don't understand, but he's about to do something in my life for good. And some of you guys tonight, that's exactly where you're at. You're chained up. You're held hostage by the fear. You're held hostage by the pain. And some of y'all need to just be broken free tonight. Allow that pain to paralyze you. Allow that pain to propel you forward. Allow that pain to propel you, not paralyze you. Allow that pain to say, you know what, I'm going to continue to go no matter the cost. And Paul's on his way and he starts with this. He says, man, I'm on this boat. I'm on a boat, y'all. He says in verse 9, he says, much time has been lost. And sailing has already become dangerous because by now it was the day after atonement. It was winter. The winds were bad. And they were in the middle of a destination where they were in the middle with no destination in sight. So Paul warned the men, I can see that our voyage is going to be dangerous and bring great loss to the ship and cargo and our lives also. But the centurion, the guy who was in charge, he says, instead of listening to what Paul said, followed the advice of the pilot and the owner of the ship. And when I was reading that, I took a quick pause. I'm like, okay, there's the owner of the ship, and then there's a captain. And Paul's telling these guys, hey, we shouldn't go on this journey. Paul's a prisoner, y'all. Like he's locked up right now and he's saying, hey, I don't think we should go to where we need to go. And I put in my little margin time, I'm like, would you listen to Paul or would you listen to the pilot who has training? So they chose the pilot who has training. I'm like, it's common sense. Why would you listen to a prisoner? And it says that they continue to go. There was a lot of stuff. Verse 13. When a gentle wind came from south to blow, they saw their opportunity. So they weighed their anchor and sailed along the shore to Crete. Before very long, a wind of hurricane force came, called the Northeastern, swept down from the island. The ship was caught, and it was driven along. As we passed to the lee of a small island called Cotta, we were hardly able to make it to a lifeboat secure. So the men hoisted it abroad. They passed ropes under the ship itself to hold it together, because they were afraid they were going to run aground to the sandbar of Sirius. They lowered the sea anchor and let the ship be driven along. Driven along. I wonder how many of us tonight have been driven along. We allowed our emotions to drive us along. Things aren't going right in our lives. It's just driving. Our parents are fighting. It's just driving us along. Our friends have turned their back on it. It's just driving along. Things aren't making sense. We're being driven along. And my question to you is, what is steering your boat tonight? Are you allowing your senses to steer you? Or are you allowing the Spirit of God to steer your life? What will steer you tonight? See, Paul was on that boat because he was fulfilling God's purpose for his life. Paul represents on this boat more than just a preacher or a prisoner, but Paul, he was actually representing God's purpose for his life. See, the people on the boat, they were driven along by their senses. Well, it looks like we're not going to make it. The winds are coming in strong. They were being driven by their senses. It doesn't look like we're going to make it to the destination. Some of you are thinking tonight, I don't think I can fulfill my purpose for my life. You're being driven along by your senses. But the Bible says we do not walk by how we feel, but we walk by faith. Can I get an amen? We do not walk by our senses, but we walk by faith. Faith is our spiritual sense. Whenever we have faith, whenever we keep on putting our trust in Him, He says, take the next step. You might be in that boat right now and God's calling you to get out of that boat, to get out of that comfort zone. And you're like, man, but there's water there. If Paul can walk on water, we can be water walkers in our lives. And he's saying, listen, I need you to step out. I need you to take your next step. I know it doesn't look pretty right now. I know the winds are coming in strong. I know the rain's coming and the waves are crashing in and it looks like you're going to die. But I need you to be the purpose on this boat. I need you to tell these guys that everything is going to be okay. You need to know tonight that everything is going to be okay. Because he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. God's not finished with you yet. And it says this. We took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day they began to throw the cargo overboard. On the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, the storm continued raging. We finally gave up all hope of being saved. We gave up all hope of being saved. And verse 21 says, after they had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them. He says, this is your purpose, Paul. This is why you're in shackles right now going to Rome. He says, after they had gone a long time without food, he says, here's your purpose, Paul. He says, Paul stood up before them and said, men, you should have taken my advice. Like, I laugh when I read that. Because you know you have those people in your life that says, you know what, I told you so. Don't you hate those people? Like, you do something, and they're like, you know what, I told you not to do that, but you did it anyway. Like, I was talking to my buddy today, And I was the told you dude. Like I was like, Ben, I told you so. You shouldn't have preached that message. I told you so, bro. Now you're getting the calls from people. I told you so. I told you so. I told you so. And I thought he was going to sock me one. But how many people in your life are like that? Like where you make a decision, your parents come around, I told you so. You shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have stayed out till 11:01. Nothing happens after good comes after 11 o'clock. And Paul's having one of those moments, and the people on the ship are like, really? This is what you have to tell us? Like, we're about to die, and you're saying, I told you so? And it said, and then it says this. He says, you should have took my advice not to sail to Crete. Then you would have spared yourselves this damage and loss. But now, I urge you to keep your courage, because not only you will be lost, only the ship will be destroyed. You will not be lost, but the ship will be destroyed. Is this good news or bad news? It depends who you ask. If the ship's going down and I'm being saved, you better believe it's good news. But if it's the captain of the ship and the person who owned the ship, you better believe it's bad news, because there's a lot of money tied into that ship. But Paul says, keep courage. Neither one of you will be lost. The ship, we can talk about that later. But as for you, sometimes our hope is found in how we want God to get us somewhere. If your hope is in the plan and your plan is interrupted, your faith will fail. Some of you guys have this idea in your head of how you're going to get there. I'm going to go to college for 4 years. I'm going to get this degree. Then I'm going to take this next step. What happens if that plan is interrupted? You're on your way. You're on that ship going to where you think you need to go, and something interrupts it. If you put your faith in the plan, when the plan fails, your faith fails. But when you put your faith in a God who has given you that plan, who has given you that purpose, even when there's pain, even when there's interruption, you say, you know what, God, I'm trusting in you. I'm moving forward. You're about to do something good on my behalf. I can't see the light at the end of the tunnel, but I'm trusting in you. Paul was saying, listen, this boat is gone. The way we're supposed to get there, it's gone. But we're going to take the extra parts of this boat that has crashed into this rock, and we're going to take it to this island. And it says that they got where they needed to go. See, Paul understood this. He understood this, no matter the cost, no matter what might come my way, no matter the pain that might be involved with my purpose, that I'm pushing forward. I'm pushing forward. I'm moving forward. I'm going to do whatever it takes, because if God has not given up on me, I'm not going to give up on him. If God started a good work in me, I believe he's going to bring it to completion. If God has called me to a great thing, you better believe that there's going to be great pain that's involved. So I predetermine in my heart tonight that no matter the cost, no matter the pain, no matter the situation, no matter interruptions in my life, I continue to put my faith in his purpose for my life. I don't care about the plan. I don't care about the transportation. I'm going to have a vulnerable moment with y'all right now. These past 3 years have been the most painful times of my life. I didn't sign up to be a pastor. I did not sign up to be a pastor. I thought maybe at the age of 30 that God would call me into some form of ministry. Daniel, you can come up. But I've been in so much pain these last 3 years, to the point where I wanted to quit. Today was a hard day for me. The whole week I had an interruption, but this interruption was the greatest interruption ever. That girl who was dying on her bed, 2.5 years old, I was there all night. I was there the next day. Not a lot of sleep. And today I woke up and the things just hit the fan. Crap hit the fan. And I'm like, man, do I really want to do this? Do I really want to continue to lead? Do I want to continue to have this kind of pain in my life? And as I reflected, as I was looking back, I'm like, God, this pain has caused so much growth in my life. Listen, if you want to get big in the weight room and you don't have pain in your workouts, you ain't getting big. There's growing pains involved. My dad always told me growing up, son, sleep 15 hours a day because when you're laying horizontal, you're growing. And I believed him, so I slept 15 hours a day, and you better believe I had growing pains. I don't know if that myth is true or not, but I did it anyway. But I remember waking up at age 12 and 13, and my hips were hurting. There was so much pain that was involved because I was growing. These past 3 years have been the most painful times of my life. And I can say, you know what? I'm going to allow pain to paralyze me, or I'm going to allow pain to propel me to my purpose. There's a brighter side. He who began a good work will bring it to completion. When I feel like giving up, when I feel like throwing the white towel in, he's saying, you know what? I'm not finished with you yet. There's more teenagers that need to be saved. There's more teenagers that need to be fulfilling their purpose. There's more teenagers that need to know about my love. I'm not done with you yet. Some of your parents are going through a divorce right now, or went through a divorce. And there's so much pain in your life, but I can tell you this, your greatest pain can become your greatest purpose. When you are older, when you take a couple seasons out of that life and you look back, you're like, you know what? That greatest pain became my greatest purpose. I'm going to mentor those girls. I'm going to pastor those girls. I'm going to pastor those guys. I'm going to walk through the thick and thin. You know the hardest people to mentor is fatherless people. I'm telling you, that's my passion. That's my desire. But the hardest people to mentor is the fatherless. And I've had so much pain dealing with those kids. But guess what? God's called me to that purpose. God's called me not to give up on those kids. God's called me to take their hand and say, you know what? You might be mad right now at your dad because he turned his back on you. He walked away from your family. But guess what? I'm going to be your spiritual father. I'm going to be your physical father if I have to. I'm going to show you the way to live a godly life. Your greatest pain might become your greatest purpose. And some of you guys are avoiding pain. You know, there's a disease for those of you who cannot feel pain. It's called cognitive insensitivity. Cognitive insensitivity. And here's what our culture is telling us to do with our pain. Just take something. Just pop that pill. Just stick that needle in your arm. Just drink that bottle. Drink that bottle, black out. Just hook up with that girl, hook up with that guy. Our culture is telling us to numb our pain with things that will not last. And it's so sad to me to see these young people who have so much purpose and calling in their life, numbing their pain because they don't know the greatest gift. Who is Jesus? Tonight you have an opportunity to say, Jesus, I want to make you the Lord of my life. You know what helps me get through my pain every single day? Knowing that he paid the ultimate price for me, that I was once lost, but now I'm found. I was once broken, but now I'm restored. I was once running the wrong direction in darkness, and somebody had the nerve to say, I'm not giving up on Zach Del Turco. I'm not giving up on that kid. I see something in him. When my back was against the wall, when I wanted nothing to do with Jesus, somebody said, I believe in this kid. Someone says, I see purpose in this kid. If you're here tonight and you've been numbing that pain with substance, you know that God wants to heal you, that God wants to do a work in your life, that God wants to be the great physician who he says he is. But I'm telling you, if we run away from pain, maybe we will never hit our purpose. If I want to get big in the weight room, you better believe I got to have some painful experiences to get that six-pack for summer. It's a couple months away, 8 months away, but guess what? You get older, your metabolism slows up, and you need to work, JoJo, you know what I mean, bro. You know what I mean, bro. But There's pain in your purpose. And it's all about perspective. It's all about perspective. Will you allow your pain to paralyze you? Or will you allow your pain to propel you? Will you be steered by your senses, or will you be steered by His Spirit? Think about that tonight. Think about those two questions on your way home. I want everybody to write them down. Write them down. Will you be steered by your senses or the Spirit? And number two, will you allow your pain to paralyze you or propel you to your purpose? My heart breaks for people who try to numb pain. I've lost so many friends in high school that are numbing their pain with substance. This is what I want to do. I want everybody to just bow their heads, and we're going to wrap this up. I want to pray for our culture. Holy Spirit, we come to you now. We know that you are here on our behalf. We know that you are doing a work in our hearts. Lord, right now, we want to pray for our world. We want to pray for our culture, for the people who are truly suffering and having pain in their life. Lord, that they would know that only you can fill that void. Only you can truly do something special with their pain. God, I pray for our families and friends who are numbing their pain right now through alcohol, through drugs, and through sex, God, in other forms. God, that we would be the answer that they need, that we would bring the hope of the gospel to them, God, that we would not shy away from what you have called us to do, and that's to be Christ followers, that's to take the gospel to the streets, that's to go into the broken areas of people in people's lives and say, you know what, we're not giving up on you because God has not given up on us. So God, I pray for our world, that we would be the answer that they're looking for, that we would be the mouthpiece in our schools, not to judge people, not to point fingers, but to point people to Jesus. With every head bowed and eyes closed, if you're here tonight and you're saying, I never made Jesus the Lord of my life, I'm going to give you an opportunity right now to do so. With every head bowed and eyes closed, if you're here tonight and you're saying, I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. I'm going to simply ask you to raise your hand, and we're all going to say a prayer together. If that's you tonight, just raise your hand on the count of three. One, two, three. I see that hand. Is there anybody else? You can go ahead and put your hand down. I see that hand back there. I see that hand. Let's pray this as a family. Everybody repeat this after me. Say, Dear Father God, I know that I'm a sinner, but I know that I need your grace. Here and now, I repent and I turn towards you. May you be the Lord and Savior of my life, and my life will never be the same because you came in. We ask this in Jesus' name. Everybody says amen. Let's give it up for those people.